The U.S. is facing a constitutional crisis as Donald Trump tries to stop the counting of millions of mail-in ballots that could tip the presidency to Joe Biden. One person who predicted this very outcome is legal scholar Lawrence Douglas. He's the author of the recent book, Will He Go? Trump and the Looming Election Meltdown in 2020. Writer's Voice spoke with Douglas in September, and I called him up the day after Election Day for his reaction to the situation we find ourselves in, the very situation that was the topic of his book, and of an article he published November 4th in The Guardian, Don't Be Fooled, The Delays in the U.S. Election Result Mean Our System is Working. Here's that conversation. You have a piece out in The Guardian today, basically giving the message of have some patience, let's count the votes, the system is working. Give us your take on what has happened now and where we go from here.
Well, you know, what we've seen unfold is, I think it was not unpredictable. I think many people, myself included, thought the election could turn on the swing states of Michigan, Wisconsin, in Pennsylvania, and lo and behold, that seems to be the case. And I guess the other thing that we, some of us anticipated, was that Trump would try to leverage whatever lead he might have on Election Day itself into a claim of victory, which unfortunately has also come to pass. And I should say that that statement by the president that he's already been reelected, it's unsurprising, though it is shocking. And I say it's shocking because it's the kind of statement one would expect to hear from an autocrat, not from the president of the United States. I mean, here's a guy declaring victory before all the legally submitted votes have been counted. And then I suppose the other observation to make is Trump's comment that the Supreme Court should stop the count of mail-in ballots throughout the nation, and that he will ask the Supreme Court to stop the count of mail-in ballots throughout the nation. I guess the technical legal term for that argument is it's crazy. It really makes no sense at all. I mean, these are legally cast votes. There's no basis for asking the Supreme Court to simply stop the count of legally cast votes across the nation.
But last week, Brett Kavanaugh said in the interests of order, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, you know, they can not count the votes in Pennsylvania that come in after Election Day. So first of all, tell us, can he go directly to the Supreme Court? And can he stop the counting of the votes the way things are right now? In other words, what can he do and what can he be prevented from doing?
Right. Well, he can't go directly to the Supreme Court. He could go through other courts, and then it could be, you know, fast-tracked up to the Supreme Court. So that's possible. And one thing I think we do need to distinguish is between his global claim that the count of mail-in ballots just has to be stopped now, and a kind of more targeted litigation that, let's say, he or his legal team could bring in a state like Pennsylvania. So, for example, last week in Pennsylvania, the Supreme Court, basically on a 4-4 vote, it left in place a state court ruling which extended the date by which these mail-in ballots can be accepted for 3 more days past Election Day. And as you point out, Brett Kavanaugh dissented from that ruling, and he wrote a kind of a troubling little dissent in which he said, well, you know, in the interests of certainty and to avoid the impression of impropriety, we really should know what the election results are on Election Day or as soon as possible thereafter. So it is possible that the Supreme Court could, let's say, revisit that decision to extend the submission date in Pennsylvania. I think it would be really regrettable if they did that. I think Chief Justice John Roberts would bend over backwards to make sure that the court didn't revisit that issue. But I'm not sure he now has the votes to stop that, with Amy Coney Barrett now being on the court. But the other thing just to bear in mind, Francesca, is even if the court were to intervene, it would only have an effect on the election if the number of votes separating, let's say, Trump and Biden in Pennsylvania were smaller than the number of votes that, let's say, could be tossed out as a result of deciding not to count these votes submitted 3 days after the election. Mm-hmm. So it's really unlikely that the Supreme Court would make any kind of decision that would have a material impact on the outcome of the election. Not impossible, but it's unlikely.
And what is the legal strategy that is being pursued, in as much as you may know it or you think should be pursued, to protect the vote?
Well, certainly any effort to stop the count of mail-in ballots or to disqualify mail-in ballots should be aggressively and will be aggressively challenged by Biden and his legal teams. I mean, we saw just this past week, even before the election, you know, Trump's legal teams tried to disqualify 127,000 so-called drive-through ballots in Texas. And both the Texas Supreme Court and a federal judge agreed with Biden, who, you know, was saying, like, that's ridiculous. There's no basis whatsoever for disqualifying those votes. And I should mention that these were extremely conservative judges who were finding in support of Biden's argument. So any, again, effort to disqualify votes will be aggressively challenged by Biden and his legal team.
Now, I don't remember if we talked about this in your book, if you covered it in your book or not, but a lot of folks before the election who were predicting that something like this could happen also talked about how the Pennsylvania state legislature could decide to throw its electors to Trump, whether or not Trump actually won the vote in Pennsylvania. Do you think that that is still possible? And weigh in on that or other kinds of shenanigans that could be employed to basically steal the election for Trump.
Right, Francesca. So first of all, Francesca, I really do have to pat myself on the back. Of course, I predicted that in the book. I predicted all this in the book, Francesca. And I'm not proud of predicting it. I guess I just have a catastrophic imagination. But yes, that is something to be troubled about. So the idea is that if the result, let's say Pennsylvania remains the key swing state, whichever way Pennsylvania goes, so goes the nation. If it is the case that the count in Pennsylvania remains very, very tight, and Trump, let's say, is successful in muddying the waters as to exactly who carried Pennsylvania, it is possible to imagine that the Pennsylvania legislature, which is dominated by Republicans, would award their Electoral College votes to Trump. And it's also possible that the Democratic governor of Pennsylvania would award the state's Electoral College votes to Biden. That said, I do think that that scenario, that kind of very bad scenario, would only come to pass if the margin separating Biden and Trump were really kind of fleetingly small, and if Trump were really successful in muddying the waters. If it seems, for example, that there is, you know, even a 1% or so, or half a percent, let's say 1% margin of victory by Biden in Pennsylvania, then we would not see the legislature going rogue in that manner. At least that is my hope.
And finally, if a decision comes down to prevent post-election, you know, ballots that arrive post-election, even though they were actually postmarked before the election, would have a huge impact on military ballots, and an impact that, you know, never has been employed against military ballots. Do you think that it would be possible to mount legal challenges to that, even just in terms of that demographic and longstanding precedent?
Right. Well, again, it depends on, you know, there are state laws that sometimes give military ballots and ballots from abroad a longer window to be submitted. And so I'm not sure if the president's legal teams, I mean, certainly the optics of it would be very strange for Trump, but I'm not sure that the president's legal teams would try to disenfranchise those mail-in ballots from members of the military. But, you know, I suppose I could say that anything that would give him an advantage is something that would be in his playbook. So he could certainly try. I don't think he'd necessarily get very far in it. And the optics would certainly be very bad.
Yeah, I mean, I guess my question is, legally, can you kind of slice and dice the ballots that you're going to allow come in after Election Day and not allow come in after Election Day?
Not really. Let's put it this way. If you have a state law that's in place that says we can accept mail-in ballots for 2 days after Election Day, there's no real reason, there's no real grounds to challenge that. The problems arise largely as a result of COVID and the efforts of states to try to accommodate this unusual electoral season of voting in a time of pandemic. So states have tried to accommodate that by sometimes relaxing or changing the submission dates. And those are the kinds of things that are then susceptible to challenge. If a state judge extends the statutory date without the state legislature having actually voted on it, that's the kind of thing that creates legal challenges.
And so finally, it's probably not fair to ask you this, but, you know, you're pretty prescient in your book, Will He Go? What's your gut sense of what's going to go on now and what is it going to take to defend our democracy should Joe Biden actually win enough votes for 270 electoral college votes?
Right. So again, I'm just, you know, this is guesswork on my part, and maybe it's also a combination of guesswork and hopeful thinking, but that Biden will ultimately prevail, that he will be inaugurated come January 20th, at which point Donald Trump becomes a civilian. But I guess so that's the hopeful scenario, Francesca. I guess the concern that I have is the kind of chaos that Trump could cause the nation between now and January 20th. And so I could imagine that even if he's ultimately unsuccessful in whatever kind of legal challenges he brings, that he could be quite successful in creating a lot of chaos and unhappiness in this country, especially if he's sending out signals to his quite passionate supporters that in a sense, the radical Dems are staging a coup and are stealing his hard-fought victory in the greatest hoax in American history. All of that can cause a lot of unhappiness in the nation.
I said finally, but do you have another minute?
Okay.
The military has signaled pretty strongly that they will not get involved on any side, not even to remove Trump physically from the White House should he refuse to go. What's your sense about this? You think this is a good thing or a bad thing?
Well, again, I don't think that at this point, I can totally understand why the military is in the business of following the orders of the commander in chief. They're not really in the business, and they shouldn't be in the business of deciding who the commander in chief is. So I can understand the statements that are issuing from members of the military. That said, I believe that once Joe Biden, assuming that Joe Biden is inaugurated on January 20th, and that John Roberts has delivered the oath of office to him, at that point, he is the commander in chief. Mm-hmm. And there's no doubt as to who the commander in chief is for the members of the military at that moment. And they will follow the orders of the new commander in chief.
Well, Lawrence Douglas, your book is Will He Go? Unfortunately, we find ourselves in precisely the situation that you predicted in this book. And I want to thank you so much for joining us again on this show to talk about the 2020 election. Thank you.
Yeah, my pleasure talking to you, Francesca.
That was legal scholar Lawrence Douglas. He's the author of Will He Go? Trump and the Looming Election Meltdown in 2020. He just posted an op-ed to The Guardian. Don't be fooled. The delays in the U.S. election result mean our system is working. For WPKN's special Election 2020 programming, I'm Francesca Rhiannon. That was legal scholar Lawrence Douglas. He's the author of Will He Go? Trump and the Looming Election Meltdown in 2020. And he just posted an op-ed to The Guardian, Don't Be Fooled. The delays in the U.S. election result mean our system is working. I'm Francesca Rhiannon, and this has been a web-only What You Need to Know segment for Writer's Voice.